الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن خفتم ألا تقسطوا في اليتامى فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع فإن خفتم ألا تعدلوا فواحدة أو ما ملكت أيمانكم ذلك أدنى ألا تعولوا. With regard to the position of women, their rights, etc., the surah is devoted extensively to the rights of women and how they should be treated. First ayat was with regard to nikah, and in nikah a person should have taqwa, that is the main ingredient for the recipe of a merry, happy married life. And Allah stressed it twice in the ayat that you should have taqwa. The next ayat, Allah Ta'ala explained that in the matters of family matters, there will be orphans also that will be, and how they should be treated. Their wealth, etc., must not be devoured. It should be kept properly, and when they are of age, it should be given to them. Now, a third aspect of this family life is mentioned here, that in the orphans, sometimes it happens that it will be girls, little girls that have become orphans. And some family member will take over and grow them up, look after them. So there are two scenarios which the Mufassirin explained, but not confined to the two, any aspect can take place. That little girls, they come of age now to get married. So they may be pretty also, and their money also you have by you. And perhaps you have employed it in your business, which is permissible, and you give them their fair share of the profits regularly. But now, if they marry somebody else out, then perhaps you will now lose that money. What your capital, it will come down, and a businessman fears that very much, that his capital mustn't depreciate, and our huge amount will go out. And the other, that girl that was pretty also, now somebody else will marry her. But the Quran says here, if you fear that you won't treat them fairly, you won't give them the meher, the proper meher, and there's no one to fight their cases. They are little orphan girls. Nobody to argue for them, to fight their cases, and you take advantage of that. So as a mu'min, don't take advantage. So don't even marry them. There are plenty other women you can marry. If you think because they are orphans, you'll take advantage of them. You won't give them their meher properly. After marriage, you won't treat them properly. Then don't marry them. Marry other women. There are plenty women Allah has kept in the world. The other scenario is that perhaps she is not so pretty, but her wealth you have employed in your business, etc. And now if she gets married to somebody else, then all that wealth of yours, that your capital will go away. So therefore you marry her, but then you can't fulfill her rights. So in those cases Allah says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى. اور اگر ڈرو کہ انصاف نہ کر سکو گے یتیم لڑکیوں کے حق میں. If you fear, and this is what a mu'min should have all the time, not the conviction, but just the fear, apprehensive, that I won't be able to fulfill their right, then don't marry them. That you won't be able to pay the proper meher, you won't be able to look after them properly, you will take advantage of them, and you will make zulam on them. In that case, if you just have that fear, don't marry them. Then marry somebody else. فَنْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. تو نکاح کر لو جو عورتیں تم کو خوش آوے. Then marry the plenty woman Allah has kept, those that your heart desires, marry any such woman. And there are plenty of them. Don't make zulam on that yatima, on that orphan little girl. In any way don't make. And this is the two scenarios explained, but in any case, if you marry somebody and then don't take advantage of that person. If it is a woman who is like on her own, she's got her family support, they will fight their case, they will want proper mahar. And after that also, they will demand that you treat them properly. But if you marry like some any other orphan girl also, or any poor girl also, and you marry a poor girl with this in mind that I'll take advantage of her, and there won't be anyone who will be able to fight her case. She hasn't got her parents to fight for her. There is nobody. Then never ever as a mu'min do that. Even if you just got the fear that you won't be able to, then don't marry such a girl. Make sure that in this great ibadat of nikah, that you do it properly and according to shariat and deen, sunnat right from the beginning. But pay the proper mahar also. And after that, look after them also properly. And if you want to, Allah Ta'ala says, you can marry woman, Allah gives you permission. Masna wa sulata wa ruba. Teen, char. You can marry two women if you want to. Up to three and four. Before Islam, man should marry many women. A man has 8, 10 wives also. Islam limited it now to 4. This polygamy in Islam is not something invented by Islam. It was prevalent not only amongst the Arabs, but in the whole world. Islam limited it to 4. Before that, a man should have commonly, very commonly, up to 8, 10 wives, more than that also. So Islam limited it to 4. And in that also Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعَدِلُوا قِرَ غَرْدَرُوا كِ اُنْمَا إِنْسَافْ نَا كَرْ سَكُوْهِ. And if you fear that you won't be able to do justice between them. And this justice, if you have two wives also, you must have complete justice. Somebody, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, did not have children from his first wife. So he made a second nikah. People told him, now you have opened the doors for second nikah. He said, no, I've closed the doors. Because he says, who can maintain that justice which Allah has given me tawfiq? For example, if somebody brought a watermelon, two watermelons for him, because he has got two wives, for one, for the two houses, for the two families, two watermelons. He shouldn't give the one to one family and the other one to the other family. But he cut both in the middle. And then he should weigh them to make sure they are equal. Because when cutting so easily, so one side is a bit more than the other side. And then he should give it. He should say, the reason for that, one of those watermelons might be more sweeter than the other. So if I give the one, that part of the family got the sweeter one, and the other one didn't. So by cutting it half, equally they are. So he says, who will maintain this justice? So those who can maintain such justice, they are permitted to marry the second wife. Not just that, as men say, that it's sunnah to get married to two wives. But it is for us to maintain justice between them. That part we don't look at all. We only look at the part of the sunnah, and that like many other sunnahs, we do them, not because it's sunnah, because it's our nafs, to satisfy our nafs. But because it is a sunnah, we justify ourselves. We say we are doing it because of sunnah. But actually, it is our nafs that we are satisfying. So Allah says, if you have that slightest fear that you will not be able to maintain justice between two or three and four wives, then فَوَاحِدَةً تُوْ. Then just keep to one wife. And who really can maintain the justice between their wives? Or if you can, otherwise, if you still think you need more wives, then O ma malakat aymanukum, ya nondi jo apna maal hai, ya your slave woman. That was in the time when they were slave women. Then you can satisfy yourself from your slave woman. Or you even marry a slave woman whose rights are less than that of a free woman. So in that case, that is the way out that Islam is given. And all this Allah says, ذَٰلِكَ أَدْنَا أَلَّا تَعُولُوا. اس اس میں امید ہے کہ ایک طرف نہ جھک پرو گے. That you, there is great hope that you won't become unbalanced and you're just inclined to one of the two wives. You have got two wives and you must maintain justice between them in so many things, not only in one thing, in so many things you must maintain justice. So in this case, that you just keep to one
or that if you have slave women, you satisfy yourself with them, or you marry one of the slave women, in that case you won't do this injustice. So Islam has taught this detail also, and this marriage, this ayat with regard to polygamy, there's a lot of detail in it. Inshallah, as we go, we will discuss all the different aspects. This was just a brief summary of the explanation of this ayat. There is great detail, and may Allah give us tawfiq. Inshallah, we will discuss the details as we go on. Wa akhiru da'wana.